Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Haley. How are you doing?
Dan, I'm good. I had a vacation.
What's that? Say that again.
I'm good. I had a vacation.
You had a vacation. Oh, well, I get jokes. I had a vacation, and that means you had a vacation from me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The listeners didn't get a vacation because we still recorded ahead of time.
They don't want a vacation, Haley. We should not say that out loud because I will get emails saying, no, we indeed do want a vacation. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And yeah, we recorded two shows in a row, a couple weeks ago, to make sure that we had new stuff on the radio every single week.
Yeah.
And then I took a week off and had a big time at home.
So big.
Oh, man.
That we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about it. We're not going to get to one of the things this week. I painted a room.
Yeah.
And everything that could go wrong.
Not everything. You got the color right.
Yes. 99% of the things that could have gone wrong or have been painful in the experience were. And it's all because I didn't do a single thing that I normally tell everybody to do. We're going to talk about that, I think, next week.
Yeah.
And that was a great experience. And there's a ton to learn. And somehow I got to learn it too and remember it. But I also had a great experience cleaning. You know how much I love cleaning? Anybody who listens on a regular basis?
Coming up on springtime.
Oh, boy. It's like my favorite time of the whole year. I get amped up and giddy. Spring cleaning. I've got a story. We're going to talk about that. But let's just spell out what the rest of the show is. We're going to be talking about a big color sample sale.
Right. 50% off Benjamin Moore half pint samples right now. Great deal. That lasts till the end of the month. But we're going to talk about how to get the most out of that.
Right. To get great results. Because people, I've personally sampled colors and had bad results because of bad application techniques or any number of bad things that I've done. We're going to help you avoid all of that and get great results and get the most out of the sale. We're also going to be talking about hat banding, which quite honestly sounds more exciting and more intriguing than it actually is. Are they going to talk about fashion? Are they going to be talking about making clothing or something? Hat banding? Fedoras, perhaps? Nope. It's just a paint problem. And we'll tell you what it is and how to avoid it. So there is a lot of good stuff to be had in that.
Yes.
Because it is a common problem. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, let's get to my really big, really fun, super spring break, early spring break experience. So here's the deal. I had an issue crop up over the course of my week on vacation.
You had the police called on you.
Supposed to say that like that. Yes, the law enforcement professionals, came to my house to greet me, to have a small conversation about some random things. They showed up at 10:30 at night, scared me to death. Yeah, ringing the doorbell. Dad, who's here? I have no idea. We don't have friends that would visit at normal times. Somebody must have died. That's all that's possible at this moment. Go to the door. It's the police. Absolutely. Someone has died. I've seen the movies. Yeah. I know how this works. And then you open the door and the guy says, I am so sorry to bother you. Is that your vehicle in front of your house? Oh, boy. Here we go. We've had a vehicle. We've got too many cars. My kid got a work van. And now we're not sure where to go with his normal vehicle, you know?
So you just parked it on the street.
Yes. We rolled the dice, and we lived on the edge for a while.
Well, what are you supposed to do? You don't have enough room in the driveway.
No, we're going to sneak it to neighbors' parking or driveways over the course of the evening and try to get it off before they wake up in the morning. No, we're not going to do that. I don't need to have the police come back to my house. But anyway, somebody didn't like that, and I don't blame them. I didn't like it. But the officer was saying, hey, you got to try to find a way to get this off of the road. You know, you got to do that. So then he took my name, and I really expected him to say, are you the radio people? And that did not happen.
Never mind. No. Just keep it on the street. You're Dan Hansen. Yeah.
We don't want to touch you. You know, we don't know what could happen. The media power and influence that you've got, you'll be running this town someday. Now, anyway, they left, and I had a promise. I'd made a promise to the law enforcement professional that I spoke to that I would take care of that vehicle. So I started trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I realized that I had the answer. I'd already given the answer out over the air like 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
I need junk haulers to come to my house and clean out my garage so that I can literally put a vehicle back in it. It is full of so many unnecessary objects that I have collected over the years.
It is kind of a collection because...
My garages or garages in general?
No, yours specifically.
Thank you.
Because... You had a lot of repeated items.
Yeah.
It was a collection.
Right. It's like I was getting ready for some major sale. I was going to have a lot of lawn equipment on sale. I had three lawnmowers, some exercise equipment we don't use,
Multiple snowblowers,
blah, blah, blah. What happens is the thing quits working mostly. So the snowblower mostly doesn't work, but it could in a pinch. But I'll get a new one. But what if that... new one stops working and we have 12 feet of snow come, I'll be really happy to have this one that kind of works. Or the lawnmower that kind of works. You know, the blade spins some of the time.
Then maybe you had multiple riders, right?
No, just one rider,
okay.
Haley. Let's
right.
not spread stories. I had a lot of stuff. I accumulated these things because there were great deals. I mean, all the reasons that hoarders have.
Right.
Those are my reasons. And anyway, I couldn't put anything in the garage. So what do? I need a junk hauler.
Yeah.
I had the absolute best experience, and the last bit of this segment is going to be singing the praises of this particular company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I am not being paid for this. I would like to be, but I'm not. I go online, and I'm just looking for somebody who will help me.
Right.
Who will help me get rid of my junk.
Well, and quickly, too.
This name comes up, and I call him. The experience was great. Here's what I got out of it. Here's why I think... anybody who's got a collection of stuff, and it doesn't have to be a lot.
No.
Just stuff you don't know really what to do with or how to get rid of it.
Or it's awkward to get rid of. Yeah, you don't have the space. Yeah.
Here's how it works. Same day service. So the officer visited at Thursday evening.
Yeah.
The SWAT team left shortly after that. And then Friday morning, 8 o'clock, I'm on the phone because I'm diligent. And I'm calling this place, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And the lady on the phone, it's a franchise,
right,
all
so
over
she's
the state,
somewhere else, yeah.
Right? She says, we've got a truck in your area. We can have somebody by your house by 8:30. Well, it's 8 o'clock.
That's a little too soon.
I have not had time to go through even half of what I want to get rid of. So I said, how about a little later? I had a truck in the driveway at 10:25.
Wow.
That same day.
I mean, I honestly would have thought you were scheduling weeks out.
I kind of thought I was going to be as well. I was really stunned, really thrilled.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to make the officer happy. I'm going to make the neighbors happier. I'm still there, but at least the vehicle's off the road. All of this is looking good. But what's it going to cost? So I asked the lady about that. How am I going to get a price? Give me a ballpark. And she gave me a ballpark based on my ridiculous... telling of what junk I had amassed.
Yeah, you gave her a very short
list.
Two
lawnmowers and I don't know, maybe a little table or something. And no, it was like 12 times that amount of junk when I really looked at it. But she gave me a price and I said, okay, I think that's worth having them come down. How am I going to know for sure what the price is?
Yeah.
She said, here's how it works. They'll drive up with the truck. It's volume based. They'll look at everything you've got. You just point it out. They will estimate what it's going to do in the truck, how much of the truck it will fill, and that's what you'll pay. And the guys, and I was very concerned about the guys coming out to the house and then leaving. Because what if I didn't like the price?
Well, right, yeah. Maybe once they get there and see everything, now it's going to be some extreme price.
Right. I don't want to be arm twisted because I cave like butter. I mean, it's just...
It's true.
You say a word and okay, fine, take my money, take my cards. Here's a couple kids, whatever you need to do. Just please don't be mad at me. Anyway, she was adamant. They're not going to be mad at you. They're not going to call you names. They're not going to squeal their tires as they leave your property. They will just leave
if
you don't like the price.
It's okay.
So anyway, they come down. They tell me the price. They look at all my stuff.
Yeah.
I had so much stuff. I was very apologetic. And they thought that was hilarious, probably for other reasons, which I'll tell in a minute. But we go through all of that. They give me a price. It's not inexpensive. But it certainly was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a big service that they're providing, right? I mean, they're taking all of this stuff for you.
I filled up their...
You don't have to touch a thing.
I filled up their entire truck, and
wow.
It was with the tip that I left, which was I was not obligated to leave, but, you know, I'm big-hearted. So I did leave a tip, and it was $868.
You filled up their entire truck.
I filled up their entire truck.
And it's like a dumpster-sized truck.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed about how much stuff I had accumulated. But there it is. All of a sudden, we can put the car in the garage. The garage can hold a car. That's how much stuff. Was so thrilled. Yeah. My barn, I have a little outbuilding barn, a little tiny tool shed, storage shed, and that can actually, we can walk into it.
Yeah.
We used to have to reach in with a reaching wand to pull things out that we wanted.
A reaching wand.
Can you find the baseball gloves? I don't know. I'm reaching with the wand. I'm trying, Dad. If we could just get in there, but there's too many lawnmowers and snowblowers in there. All of that is gone. Yes, I could have brought these things to other places, but they literally loaded the rider. Two guys picked up the rider and put it in the back of the
truck. And how long did it take?
A half an hour. They were gone in a half an hour.
It's amazing.
It was ridiculous. So here's basically what I got rid of. A one riding lawnmower, three push mowers, one two-stage snowblower, three bikes, two grills, like a yard table, and several other little odds and ends, exercise things.
You said a microwave.
Equipment. Oh, and a microwave. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I'd had more time, I'd have filled up a second truck.
Well, yeah. I mean, now that you're looking at it, you said that you've got way more that you should call him about.
I should, yeah. But I probably won't. But right now, it's really made such relief. And I know that maybe sounds silly, but I know anybody who's had a bunch of junk that they couldn't work around, it's completely real.
Yeah, your life can function again.
Baggage goes away. It's not like this was ridiculous. I mean, the garage was full of stuff, but it was tucked away.
Sure.
But it was not usable. It was not helpful.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got so much space taken up by things that don't even run all the time.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? You're doing it because you don't know how else to get rid of it.
Exactly.
I managed to do that. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Definitely something to check out. Some of their other junk removal, it's all junk removal services, but just some angles to think about that I hadn't. There's the residential, you know, so spring cleaning, opening up some space.
Maybe you're moving.
Getting ready for a move. Yeah. Don't haul it all and then get rid of it. And, you know, this is easier than getting a dumpster out to the house.
Yes.
And probably very close price-wise, I would think. Very similar. And they do all the work.
Yep.
Definitely something to think about. Renovation cleanup. I had not thought about that.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. Cleaning up after a disaster, a flooded basement,
something like that.
Fire. They'll take care of all of that. Commercial cleanup as well. And they'll take things like appliances. So refrigerators, air conditioners, my microwave, freezer. These things that you don't know what to do with and don't want to deal with.
A piano. I've had that situation. You know, I got Jordan a piano, a free one, a long time ago. And I thought.
That's how they hook you.
Yeah. It's free. Free. It's free. A free piano. A really nice free piano. I couldn't believe it. So I banded my friends together and we all made this happen. Got him a piano. Then we move. Well, now I'm the person with a free piano that I can't get rid of. So I had to call a junk service.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. At two people, somehow.
We'll load the thing up.
Yeah, it's magic.
They'll take almost anything. You can check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just go online. You'll find them. They've got a lot of stuff on their website to help you out. A lot of great little how-tos and how to keep things clean and on top of everything else that they're offering. And then they've got a great little search where you type in whatever junk you've got. And hit enter, and it'll tell you if they'll take it or not. Most of the time, they're going to take pretty much everything. So look into that. I mentioned at the beginning or throughout this that something kind of funny and hilarious to me happened in the midst of all of this. I do have to say this before we wrap this segment up. I was getting the stuff out of the garage, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have to. We didn't have to haul everything out of the garage. I was being helpful.
Yes.
And trying to get a handle on all the junk that we needed them to take away. My boys were there. Andrew and Caleb were both helping me. I'm naming them because we're all going to go down together with this, boys. And we're cleaning the garage and having a good time. And I notice as we push the rider out that the tire's flat.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I can push it across the driveway. But it'd sure be nicer for them if that tire had air in it. It's probably going to be easier. So I turn on the air compressor. And, of course, it makes a ridiculous sound.
Yeah.
It's just so loud. And as we're standing there, Caleb had found a kind of a silly motorcycle helmet mm-hmm. that we've got and motorcycle gloves. So he's wearing those.
So he's playing dress up.
And he's purposely wearing them in a silly manner.
Yeah.
So he's standing there doing that. I'm standing there with that ridiculous noise going on from the air compressor. So I cup my hands over my ears and it blocks it out completely. Then I lift my hands off my ears like I'm 4 years old and there's all the noise again. So then I did that over and over as fast as I could, just on my head. And I said, boys, you got to do this. It's hilarious. So we're all standing there, all grown adults in my garage, Caleb in full motorcycle gear, cupping our hands over our ears, making the helicopter sound, and we all stop at the same moment and look to the end of the driveway, and there's the 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck just sitting there, guys looking at us.
That's painful.
Oh, it hurt. And then they come out, and we're trying to act
tough. How do you recover from that?
We'll help you load that lawnmower. No, I don't think we need any of your help.
Please go inside.
Yeah, anyway, amazing. Felt like an idiot. All right, we're going to take a break. Before I do that, I've got a coupon that they left me, and I'm probably not going to make use of this, so I'm going to give it away. It's $25 off, so it's not like I'm giving you the bank here, but it's $25 off. If you've got a small amount of stuff you want to get rid of and you want to save $25 on that, you email radio@repcolite.com. I'm going to take the third name. If you've got a bunch of junk, it's actually good if you fill the whole truck. You'll get $50 off. But it's $25 to $50 off, depending on how much junk you've got.
I'm going
to give it to the third person who emails radio@repcolite.com. All right, let's take a break, Haley. I was long-winded. When we come back, let's talk about hat banding.
Yeah.
And I think we're only going to get partway into the problem. Then we'll have to solve it in the third segment.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. It's all next. Stay tuned. Well, Haley, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I had a little paint project that I tackled.
Right, Tessa's room finally got painted.
Painted Tessa's room. Everything is super exciting, but I had said that everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and you corrected me.
The color was right, just so the process of painting. 1%
of the things that could have gone right did go right. 99% of the things, it went wrong. It was just a really crazy experience, and I think that's really good because we're going to talk about it.
It gives us a lot of content for sure.
It does. And the thing is, it means I get it. I know what projects can be like. I know that I talk to people here at RepcoLite and they have flawless paint projects and they love painting.
Yeah.
And I love the end results of painting.
Right.
And I really think I like painting. It's just that the way I do it is so dumb. And I know better and I still mess it up. Yeah. All of these things that went wrong.
One day, we'll get you in like a painting rehab and we'll get you fixed.
The problem is I know what to do right.
Yeah.
But I know the core problem is me. It's in me and I got to fix that. But the thing is, there's a lot we can learn.
Yeah.
And I could have had a great experience. I didn't. One of those things that went wrong. I'm going to talk about all of that next week because there's too much to get into. One of those things that went wrong is I ended up with hat banding or picture framing. And a lot of people don't know what that is. Contractors know what that is.
Right.
And most of the time, I think the term is picture framing. That's what I hear most often.
I think I hear that more than hat banding, but most homeowners aren't going to know what we're talking about, probably.
Right, what either one is.
Yeah.
And so here's the deal. I cut in the room, you know, so you've got to paint up around the ceiling. I've got to paint the corners with my brush, and then I've got to go around the trim and around the windows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I get all of that cut-in work done, and then I'm going to roll that wall. Now, the space I was in was tight, so all of it was just moving ladder. Nothing was fluid and smooth. Nothing went quickly and easily. So it took me time to get to that, and I rolled, finally got the wall rolled, and I started to notice darker bands around the entire room.
Which, like, maybe is just the first coat, right?
Well, there was a blue on the wall, and I was going over it with a yellow, so I thought maybe that's what's going on. Just bad hide, and I'll get it with a second coat. Well, I did the whole thing again. I had to cut in again, did all of that. The room dries, and I take a look at it, and nope, I've still got that dark frame. The whole thing is one color, but now that frame looks darker. It's supposed to be one color, I should say. It's all darker around the ceiling, around the corners, and around the baseboard. Everywhere I cut in is too dark. What's going on? It's picture framing. It's hat banding. It happens a lot, and we're going to tell you what causes it and how to prevent it on the next segment. So just hang with us over the break, and we'll be right back. We're back. You're listening to the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. We're talking about hat banding, making hats, making fedoras.
I wish. That sounds very interesting.
I've watched plenty of videos on social media about that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's sad.
I got in. No, well, I got into a. I fell down a rabbit hole when the new Indiana Jones movie came out.
Okay.
Started looking for a fedora because I figure if I get the hat, I'll finally have the cool that goes with it, right? And then I ended up watching all these videos of people making these handcrafted hats. Anyway, no, That's not what we're talking about. That's not the hat banding we're talking about. What we're talking about is a paint problem. Yes. I had it on a project that I just worked on. Just to quick summarize it again, if you've ever cut in a room, done the paint
brushing around, you know, the corners and the trim and the ceiling, all of that.
Do all
cut in.
Yep, that's your cut in. You do all of that, then you roll the paint on the walls, you step back to admire your handiwork, and you realize that all around where you did that cut in, the ceilings, the corners, the around the trim on the floor, the baseboards, you see a darker band of color.
Mm-hmm.
You're very confused. It's all color from the same can.
Right. How could it possibly be different?
What's going on? That's picture framing.
Right.
That's hat banding. So what causes it? Let's talk about that. And we're going to hit these causes kind of briefly because we're going to really dig into them when we talk about how to prevent it.
Yes, absolutely.
So what causes it, Haley?
So, I mean, right off the bat, you know, you've got heavier and lighter application of paint when cutting in the corners versus rolling. So that alone can affect the way that color is going to look, right? Heavier paint versus lighter.
Got that going on. Right tied to that would be that you're basically not keeping a wet edge while you're rolling. So you did that heavier or lighter application of paint around your, you know, all your cut-in work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't roll into that while it's wet and it has a chance to dry, that plays into creating this picture framing or hat banding.
Right.
It could happen because you're spraying versus brushing paint. You know, that can make a different look. It could be caused by using a different roller cover nap. A roller cover nap that's too long.
True, heavy texture.
Maybe too heavy for the wall. It creates a different look.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that texture alone could make a color look different, but it really does happen. The other thing that happens, you know, is potentially you're working out of multiple gallons and you didn't box them, or you could be, you know, not mixing the paint well enough while you're working.
Right. All of that could be causing this picture framing, this hat banding. How do you prevent it? Well, some of that, we're going to touch back on all these things that we just talked about. But there are some things that you can do. And last week, as we mentioned, for those who are true believers, who just live by every single episode, last week we talked about the importance of priming the walls with a high-quality primer.
Right. We talked about Quick Seal. That's on sale right now for $19.02.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you heard that correctly. $19.02 a gallon.
Yeah, the people who gave us that price are really annoyed with us now because we keep pointing it out. It's really my fault, too.
It's very funny.
When they gave me that price, I should have questioned the 2 cents. Can't we just bump it to 19? And I didn't. I just took it and ran with it. And then Haley has nonstop.
It's too funny not to point out. I mean, it just sticks in your head. If you're not going to remember anything, you're going to remember the 2 cents.
Yeah. So Quick Seal's on sale for $19.02 per gallon. Why does that matter? How does that help us with hat banding?
I mean, sealing drywall really, really well gives you a more even surface to apply your paint to. And that does prevent some of this weird color.
Yeah. What we're talking about is a surface that has not been coated before.
Right.
So bare drywall. A lot of times people want to use paint and primer all in one. That idea.
The idea of that is great, but it's not reality.
No, basically paint and primer all in one really just is paint.
Yes.
There isn't a separate additive of primer that balances everything out.
No.
And the paint soaks in at different rates. It's more expensive. All the things we talked about last week. If you use a good primer, it gives you a great even surface to work on.
And this is one of those problems that it can prevent.
Absolutely. Now, another thing you can do is keep a wet edge when painting. Now, you do this by breaking the painting into smaller sections.
Right.
Cut in one wall and roll into that cut in while the paint is still wet. You can't always achieve this on your own. Really, that becomes complicated.
Yeah, it's really great to work with a help or a partner when you're doing this kind of work because someone can be brushing while you're rolling into it, and you can make it really seamless that way. But
yes.
You've got to have the right help.
You've got to have the right help. That was my problem.
Yeah,
I had people who wanted to help with that, but I had standards that they couldn't meet, and we had disagreements as people, as coworkers, as family. And we decided to just separate for a while. So they worked in another room while I steamed and stewed in my room and then ended up with the results of having to work alone and not being able to work fast enough. So work with a helper, work with a partner, work with the right partner.
Right.
And keep that wet edge. And another thing you can do is to give some thought to the furnace and the blower.
Especially
you
know, this time of year, we've still got the furnace on most likely. And just that hot air can make the paint dry too fast, and it really, you're working against time.
So you've got that. Another thing you could do is to minimize those cut-in lines. A lot of times we try to cut in, and when we do that, we'll create like a 4-inch band around the room.
I had a friend do that, and it was like, no, that's not how you cut in.
No, cut in with the smallest thickness that you can. If you can pull off a 1-inch cut-in or a 1.5-inch cut-in, that's great, and then you roll really tightly up to that.
Exactly.
Minimize the visual of that cut-in. Don't give yourself a great big band. Apply the paint as uniformly as possible, no matter what method you're using. Box the paints together, mix those gallons before you start, and always remember that we're here to help. Don't be shy about asking us in the stores for help. We know that people don't do this every single day.
Right.
We're here to help you get the results that you want. It's possible to do, right? Right, Haley? It's possible to get those great results.
Especially if you're not Dan.
I know. It's my own personal problem. So we're going to talk about those next week. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about color samples. They're on sale, but more importantly, how to use them and get the best results possible. That's all next. Stick around. We're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And Haley, we have a lot of different things we want to talk about in this segment. We want to talk about the big color sample sale that's going on.
Definitely.
And more importantly than the sale, we want to go through some best practices so you get great results when you sample your colors. We don't want you to screw it up.
Exactly. Because you can get 50% off color samples and still get
really bad results. So we don't want that because nobody wins. Nobody wins when you're unhappy with the results. We want to get you great results. But before we get to that, let's give out the names of the winners of our big color consultation contest that we ran for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we were giving away 5 free in-home color consultations from me personally. I'm very excited to meet all of these winners and help them find their perfect color. But here is the list. We've got Lisa Grondyke.
I think you did just fine. The fact that you slowed down, I'm going to take points off for that. You had it
Didn't stick the landing.
No, you did not.
Yeah. All right.
So Lisa.
Kelly. Not even going to try that.
Come on, try.
There's too many vowels there.
Vanigmond. I don't think that's right. Kelly V.
You know who you are.
Kelly V, you're a winner. Tara Meiring.
Yeah, that one's easy. Kim Van Heistema, maybe?
Yep, Kim Van Heistema.
And Dean Snoke.
Yeah. So anyway, we've already contacted you all. We're only giving out the names so that everybody realizes
they didn't win.
This what?
You know, that didn't win.
Oh, that they personally, but that these 5
did
win. I was just going to say that we were making sure that everybody knew the contest was legit and not a scam.
I mean, we could have just made those names up, but
we would have made up names we could have pronounced.
True.
Or
True.
Would we? Now people are wondering. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. We've got these winners. We'll be touching base with them. Haley's already done that.
Already reached
out. Then as the process unfolds, perhaps some of them will be willing to be a part of the show sometime and talk about the results. That's what we're hoping. We'll find out. If so, we'll report back. And if this is not a complete and abysmal failure,
we
will have more of these. So that's coming up. All right. Let's get to this color sample sale, and why don't you spell out exactly what's cooking right now, and then we'll get to the best practices.
Right, so the color sample sale started on March 13th, and it goes until March 31st. That's 50% off Benjamin Moore color samples. Those are little half-pint samples, and they're perfect. It's the perfect amount of paint, honestly, to get on your wall and test a color before investing in gallons.
All right.
That's the point.
That's what's going on. All of the Repco Light locations,
right.
You can just go in. Those samples will be 50% off and runs to the end of the month. At the beginning of this, we talked about how we wanted to get to some best practices so people have the best results possible when they're sampling colors. Haley, what's your first best practice?
Narrow down your options first. You know, you should really only be sampling like 3 colors. Let's really narrow down your options before you start sampling, because the goal is not to buy as many samples as possible so that you can then narrow it down based on those color samples on your wall. That's going to be chaos, and it's just going to open up even more indecision. If you can start narrowing those color options down in the store, we've got a great option for that, which is those 8x8 color swatches. You know, those are much larger than the little 2x2 squares that people normally have to go off of. Once you can see those colors a little bit bigger, you should have enough there to tell you whether it's an option still or not. So narrow it down in the store before you start sampling. And when you start sampling, you should really just be focused on one specific color. Like, let's say your direction is blue. You want to have that direction. You don't want to be sampling between blue and tan or blue and green and making that decision with color samples.
Do that with the color chips.
Right.
Then once you figured out blue is where I want to go, then you start getting a few color samples. And like you said, we're recommending about three.
Right.
It's probably the max.
Exactly.
For where you want to, you know, do this first little test. And you're messing around with undertones at that point. You know,
right.
One that leans slightly this way, a blue
or
that leans
a
slightly.
Little bit darker.
Exactly.
Or a little bit lighter. But you're not doing, you know, this one's a navy blue and this one's a sky blue. We're not there anymore. You've decided on, okay, navy blue is my direction. And here's three navies, one that's maybe a tiny bit lighter, one that's a little bit greener. You know, that's what you're trying to really focus on so that you're finding ones that work with your lighting. That's the goal here.
All right. So that's the first thing. Narrow down those options before you're even dropping money to get some of these samples. What's next?
Prepare the walls. So before you're applying those color samples, just like we tell you all the time to prepare for a paint project by cleaning the walls first and doing all of those things, you should be doing that same stuff before applying sample paint. You know, it's still paint on the walls. We want to make sure those walls are prepped first. Another thing that can be helpful, you know, if you have a really strong color on the wall right now, sometimes that can be a really hard canvas to sample on top of because it's going to alter your vision of the colors that you're sampling. So sometimes preparing the walls means that you're creating a blank canvas and priming a wall first or priming all of the walls.
So prepare the walls well. What's next?
So applying the sample paint, it sounds very straightforward. And I think a lot of people end up buying just little chip brushes that really, they're meant for glue. These are not necessarily even paint brushes, but they're very inexpensive. They fit inside of a sample pint really easily. And so I think a lot of people, you know, that's what I'm going for right now. I just want to get this done. It's cheap. I don't want to invest a lot in sampling. That's what I'm going to use. The problem with that is that those chip brushes aren't going to give you the best results as far as texture on the wall goes, right? Now you've got a brush texture on top of rolled paint. And you're going to see that texture through once you roll back over it with your finish paint. I mean, that's not going away. You've essentially created a mural on your wall.
And that is where people have run into issues. And people I've talked to have, you know, expressed an interest in not wanting to do any of this sampling on the walls because they don't want to deal with that.
Right.
You can apply it and feather it out and make sure it's not going to be a problem. Like
yes.
Haley's saying, use a roller. You're going to get the same texture. The way it reflects the light is going to be more accurate to how you're going to see that wall.
Right.
And that color usually anyway.
We sell little rollers that are perfect for sampling, right? We've got the, they call them jumbo coners, but it's the opposite. They're tiny.
Yeah.
Little rollers that you can buy a little tray for, and it's perfect for sampling your paint. You know, it's not a huge investment, but you're getting a texture on the wall that matches. It's easier to feather it out, and honestly, it's faster. The thing about sampling is that you really want to be doing the largest sample possible.
And how big would you say that is? I guess you just did. The largest sample possible.
It's going to depend, right? Because I don't know what surface is going on. You know, it could be a brick surface. It's going to be more porous and suck up more of that paint. Really, it's just as much as you can cover with the amount of paint that you've got. That's what you're after. You really don't want to just create an 8x8 square in your wall, just like the same size as the color chip in the store. The point of this is to get it scaling so that you can see what's going to happen with the lighting in your situation. It's really hard to see what a color is going to do when you're looking at a small version of it. And the other goal here is so that your eyes are not distracted by any of the surrounding colors as well.
Like we were talking about, that really can play in, and you want to make sure you're giving yourself the best view of that. You've got the sample paint. Use it up. If you apply it the right way, the way we're recommending,
right.
You know, with care and you're sampling and you're feathering it out, you're not going to have a problem when you go to your finish paint. When you
right.
finally make that color choice, these colors should be close enough to what you end up with in the end.
Exactly.
That this will cover. So that's a really good way. Pay attention to how you're applying it. If you have more questions about that, make sure you're asking us at the counter when you're getting those sample pints, and we'll walk you through that again there.
Absolutely.
What's next, Haley?
Observing it in different lighting conditions is really important, too. So, you know, what you shouldn't be doing is buying the sample in the morning, going home, getting it on the wall, and within 2 hours you've made that color choice because you haven't seen what that color does in the evening when all you're seeing it with is the artificial light that you have in your home. It could look completely different. in that scenario. And so you really want to see it throughout the day. Make sure that you like it in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. That might sound crazy, but color is light. So whatever the lighting conditions are doing throughout the day is really going to affect the way that color appears in your space.
And I think we're going to jump ahead in your notes because we're right basically saying another point down the road, is that you've got to evaluate over a few days. This isn't just look at it over the course of this afternoon and this evening and tomorrow morning, and then you're ready for paint. Give yourself time to see that and live with it for a few days.
Because you are going to be living with this. This is a big commitment, and I think that this decision is rushed a lot of times. And rushing a color decision is never going to leave you with stellar results, right? It's always going to be less than stellar when you rush that and just try to get it done because here's my window of opportunity and I've got to get the paint on this weekend. If that's a situation you're setting yourself up for, you're not going to get the best results. And if you do, you got lucky.
Yeah, most of the time, there's always something. It doesn't go as smoothly as you wished it had. It's an experience you don't want to ever have again.
Right.
Or worse yet, you go through all the work, put the room back together, and that's when you realize a couple days later that the color's wrong, and now you're looking at redoing everything.
Exactly.
Getting everything out of that room. So just give yourself the space and the time that you need, and that will mean planning ahead. And I'll be the first one to say I struggle to plan ahead.
Absolutely. Right there with you. You know, so, we all have busy lives and it's hard to fit in these home projects, but it really is crucial to plan ahead.
So keep that in mind. What's next, Haley?
Consider adjacent colors. So when you're looking at these samples, make sure that you're looking at them with the mindset and view that you're putting it in the context of the entire home. So you're looking at that sample paint on the wall and you're paying attention. Does that clash with the color that I've got in the next room that you most likely can see from the room that you're standing in, right? So if you're painting the hallway and you can see the living room, do those colors work together? Because if the color looks great just in the hallway, and then when you look at it with the living room and it looks bad, that's not the color, right? We've got to make sure that the whole home works together.
We had a conversation with a friend of ours who had that situation, did all the color sampling and did not look at it with that in mind.
Right.
Finally picked the color.
Got it painted.
Got the room painted. Sitting at her desk, it was during COVID times, working from home, turns around in her desk and sees through the open doorway the kitchen, and all of a sudden the horrible combination of the office walls with the color on the kitchen walls, it was just horrible. She had to redo it.
It ruined the entire thing for her.
She hated it. We got really lucky. That room that I repainted for my daughter.
Right, the yellow.
I did not think about any of that because that's how I roll. I'm all about now, right now. And we got done, and I stepped out of the room, and I'm looking at the yellow, and I happened to look at Maddie's room, which is right next door. We see them both at the same time. Oh, that's got a great purple on the walls. I mean, a great purple, as great as purple can get.
There are good purples.
This one's a good one, and it looks great with the yellow. We nailed it.
Yeah.
The kids said, wow, Dad.
It's like we planned it.
Did you plan that?
Right?
I said, of course I did. Absolutely. But they all know better.
We just talked about complementary color schemes. You should have.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. What's your last thing? I know you got one last thing.
This one is, it kind of goes back to evaluating over a few days. And that's because you really want to assess your feelings. That sounds silly, but I really encourage you to look at your emotional response to the colors on the wall, because something can look good and not feel right. And that's a really important distinction to make when you're sampling and when you're going to repaint a room, because having it look good for a picture or whatever is not the goal here. It's to feel better in your space. So if the color is making you feel what you want to feel in that space, you know you've got something. If it looks good, great, but you want it to feel right.
Right. And that's something that's just going to take time. And that really plays into that other comment that we had, where just live with it for a little while and make sure you're looking at it from that point of view. I think we do tend to fall into the trap of, well, it looks good. This is good. And other people like it. Mm-hmm. And you bring people in and what do you think of this? And, oh, it's great. It's a great combination. If you're asking all those questions, something is going on in your head that it's not feeling right. And I would pause at that point before you get a bunch of paint on your wall.
Yes.
It may be the right color, but it might take you a little bit of time to make sure of that. And you're going to be much happier if you just delay a little bit. So that's how to use these color samples to the best of their ability and to get great results. We've got them on sale until the end of the month.
Yeah,
so 50% off.
So good deal.
Definitely time to do it. All right, Haley, that's all the time we've got. We're going to wrap it up. If you want to catch this one again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Haley Johnson. Thanks for listening.